You're listening to the Table Talk podcast, brought to you by the team at Food Matters. Welcome to Table Talk, brought to you by Food Matters, and this week in partnership with Tetra Pak. In these podcasts, we explore a huge range of crucial issues and exciting developments in the food industry with brilliant guests drawn from all areas of expertise. I'm Stephen Gates. I'm a TV presenter and a writer, and I specialize in food and science. This podcast is all about the Tetra Pak Index, and we're joined by Libby Costin, Global Chief Marketing Officer for Tetra Pak. Hello, Libby. How are you?
I'm great today. How are you?
Yeah, really good. And I love a bit of packaging, so this is perfect for me. Now, first of all, tell us what is the Tetra Pak Index?
The Tetra Pak is the world's leading processing and packaging company that supplies both equipment and packaging materials to customers like many, if not most, large, mid, and small-sized dairy and beverage companies globally. We're in 170 countries. We've been around since the 50s. You know, we have a very strong focus on not only food and beverage processing and packaging, but also sustainability. So the Tetra Pak Index itself is a report that we do each year. We look into what's going on in the food and drink industry, and we do a piece of research each year, and we touch on different areas with different degrees of focus, depending on the year, on sustainability, food safety, and consumer behavior. And then we share this with our customers, with the industry, and with the public after we've completed the report. So we just like to kind of keep a finger on the pulse of what's going on in the industry and looking at trends, looking at what consumers are up to so that we can have more meaningful dialogue and discussion with our customers.
And this year has been an extraordinary year. A lot has changed. Have you seen a lot change within the index and the results of the survey?
Yeah, it's been pretty interesting to compare. Of course, so many things have been disrupted or uprooted this year with COVID. But definitely, you know, consumers have put COVID as their number one concern this year. And in the past, it has been about environment, or it has been about something in the food area. So this year, COVID popped up to the top of the list in terms of top concern. And then a few other things came out that were a little bit different. So for example, food waste has kind of emerged as a bigger concern than some of the broader environmental concerns. So it's interesting because we kind of think that consumers see food waste as something that they can influence, even though it can be a little bit confusing. For example, if they read labels on any package and see the best buy or the use before date, that can become a bit confusing. And it is something that is important when you think about food waste and when you would tend to discard a product, right, before consuming. So, but that COVID concern is the big thing that's popped up. And it's, you know, you might kind of expect that, right?
But when you say a COVID concern, in it, how does that manifest itself? I mean, rather than just being concerned about COVID, what about it? Which is the bit that they're most focused on?
It's two things, really. It's health, generally, and the fear of, you know, disease. Mm. And then it's also food safety. So they want to be sure that they're taking care of their health, number one, and that they're accessing safe food that's not going to be, you know, contaminated in any way.
And they're specifically thinking it might be contaminated with COVID-19, that's the specificity of the issue.
Yeah, it could be that. It could also be linked back to health, where they say, you know, I want to take care of myself. I want to eat healthy food. I want to be sure that that is safe, healthy food.
So as well as the immediate problem facing us, the pandemic, you think that it's had a secondary impact in terms of the sort of navel-gazing attitude of this, of thinking more, people thinking more about themselves and about their well-being.
Yeah, and if you think about what we've all been doing, or almost all of us, we've been kind of staying at home, staying away from others, and focusing on, you know, all the things around our home and our household and feeding ourselves, and very sort of inwardly looking, much more so than usual, I would say.
Yeah.
So I think it drives that a bit.
Yeah. And in terms of the scale of the difference, have you noticed something? You know, is it an extraordinary change from last year, or is it incremental in terms of what people are most concerned about?
Say if I look at the top ranked items for 2019 versus 2020, Corona is the top ranked concern at 64% of consumers concerned with that. The next one down the list in 2020 is environmental issues at 49%, followed by economic issues at 47%. If I look back to 2019, I see environmental issues at 63%. Health issues at 46%, and then economic issues at 40%.
Gosh, that's a huge shift.
It's a big swing, I would say. It's a big swing.
Now, what does this mean for the consumer landscape, do you think?
I think it's a couple of things. I mean, certainly everybody's sort of in a waiting mode for COVID to go away. Mm-hmm. But there's a couple of trends that we're looking at that we think will continue and sustain even after this crisis. And one is around food safety. And I think another is around food waste. So the food safety aspect is really about aspects of food safety that consumers can't control. So they want to know, what's the provenance of the product? Where does it come from? How is it manufactured and packed? How is it transported until it gets into their hands? Mm. That's the food safety part of things. Then the food waste part of things is, they want to know, you know, when is it safe to eat and when should I discard it and how do I avoid wasting? So it's those are some things that we think, you know, have definitely popped up dramatically in this period, and we think that will continue.
And how do consumers want to see these things being addressed? Or is it just the case that they want it to be addressed?
Well, it's they definitely want it to be addressed. And I think they also want manufacturers and in some cases governments to take some responsibility in terms of being more transparent, making information more easily available about the safety, about how it's produced, et cetera. Food waste, you know, is a little bit of an area where consumers see that they can make a difference and that they can impact it. But they certainly have a belief that governments and manufacturers should play a role and take a responsibility.
And what role can packaging play to alleviate these concerns? How do you use the packaging to tackle this?
I think packaging can and should play a role in a couple of different areas. I mean, I think to make sure that there's that packaging does the job that it's supposed to do, meaning it protects the product, it allows it to arrive in an undamaged manner, it keeps the product fresh, it can be reclosed or resealed, and it's easy to see whether it's been opened or not opened, it doesn't leak, you know, maintains peak freshness over a period of time, and is clearly marked in a way that consumers can understand when it's no longer good. All of those things are things that packaging can do for any product. So I think that's quite central to the role of packaging. Mm. Then beyond that, you can also use packaging to communicate different messages that either the manufacturer wants to send to consumers, or about what the package is made of, for example, if it's made of responsibly sourced materials, for example.
Mm. And I'm fascinated by that idea, because do you think those messages need to be overt? Do they need to be written on packaging? Or is it implicit in the design, in the feel of the packaging and the you know, materials, you know, the sensory perception of it and just how it looks? Or should it just simply be written on there?
Of course, I'm coming from a packaging company, right? So of course, I would think the more we can do to communicate clearly and overtly, the better. But I do think, and this is not specific to our kind of packaging, but all packaging, consumers spend a lot of time reading labels, not just to know what the package is, but also mainly to know what's the ingredients, what's in it, et cetera. So they will read packages to get information. So why not give them some information about the package as well while they're reading, so that they know where it comes from and what it's made of?
Yeah. Now, I mean, the index must be enormously helpful for manufacturers. What are the opportunities and the solutions that they have available to them to help tackle the key consumer concern of food safety?
I think there's a lot of different things. I mean, I think the labeling, you know, there's this whole clean label movement that I've heard you speak about before, some of your other podcasts. So this whole idea of clear and simple messaging is important, but the communication about the expiration date on a package is extremely important. So how, and something almost all consumers look for. So that's a communication opportunity for manufacturers to make sure that they make this extremely clear. And then I think, you know, when you talk about food waste, the ability to reseal and reclose a package that can keep the package fresh longer. You don't have to use it all in one go. Then I think that's also important. And then, you know, the whole idea about the source of the product and where it's come from, the provenance of it, really, that is something I think that manufacturers spend a lot of time communicating to consumers about, not necessarily only on the package, but in their advertising, in their own marketing. Quite important for consumers to know, where does it come from? And there's been all sorts of interesting ways that manufacturers have done this recently, kind of mixing the package together with, you know, sending you to a website to learn more, various different ways to have several channels to communicate. So I think that's all very important for manufacturers to focus on.
Do you think blockchain tracking and the accessibility of blockchain is going to become more and more important to the packaging itself?
Yeah, I think whether it's blockchain or whether it's other types of traceability, I think there's a number of technologies that are starting to emerge, and some are currently available. They can be used to help with that kind of communication. So besides blockchain, there's other kinds of tagging that can go on a package, for example. I mean, we're looking at things like radio frequency communication, like an RFID tag, still a little bit expensive, but if you have the right setup, that little tag can be used to trace the product from the time of manufacture to the time that it gets into the consumer's hands. There are other technologies that will notify you when the product has gone out of date, and it could communicate, for example, with your refrigerator to notify you that something's gone out of date. So I think...
Is that about the packaging giving you that information, or the food inside?
Well, it would be a combination. I mean, in that case, it could be that it's just about time. So whatever the time, the expiration date of the product is, there could be more sophisticated ones that actually tell you when the product's not good anymore.
And that's things like color changing, you know, I guess pH indicators as well as sort of bacterial overload that changes colors of things. You must be doing a lot of research in those sorts of areas as well.
Yes. And they're not really commercialized yet because... You know, somehow the connectedness of everything isn't quite there, but I think it's in the very near future.
Yeah. Now back to the food waste issue. I mean, this has gone up the agenda. Why do you think that consumers are now more aware of this?
Well, you know, there has been a lot more coverage of food waste. But there's a lot of statistics when we talk about. I think it all started with this understanding that the population growth is going to be rather explosive in the next 10, 20, 30 years. And then it went to, okay, how are we going to feed all these people? And then it went to, okay, food waste is a problem because we're wasting a lot of food today. And if we weren't, then we might be able to kind of feed this population. So I think that's one of the reasons that it's gone up like that. And I think consumers are maybe also increasingly aware of their own behavior in terms of how they are throwing away or wasting some level of food at home in their you know, regular shopping. So I think it's a combination of that external information about the broader issue in the world of feeding everyone, and then looking at their own behavior and thinking, wow, I am wasting a lot of food. How do I reduce that?
Mm. And how do you think manufacturers and the supply chain can help with that? How can they limit the amount of food that goes to waste?
I mean, I think there's many different things you can do. Again, it goes back to the communication about when a product is no longer good. But I think also, you know, there can be different options in terms of different sizes that are available, even as manufacturers want to simplify their number of SKUs that they offer. There's also, you know, depending on the country that you're in, you've either got growing families or shrinking families in terms of number of people per household. Depending on what number of people are in households, and I live in Sweden, and I know that in Sweden there's a lot of households of one. So the package sizing should be looked at by manufacturers and make sure there's an offer for those one and two person households, which seem to be more and more prevalent these days in many, at least in developed countries, not so much in developing.
And what about consumer concerns about the environment? It's very interesting that this seems to have sort of suffered in terms of the main concerns as COVID-19 has leapfrogged everything. Does that worry you? I mean, it's still a key issue, but it's changed. And what do you think about that?
Well, I think it may be temporary, is what I think. I think it's just that COVID has been so big this year and probably well into next year that it's kind of overtaken everything because of how drastic it's been, what's changed. But it's still there. It's moved down the list a lot. And I think there was it's an interesting thing that's happened because as we've had lockdowns, there was what I think is a temporary improvement in certain environmental measures, emissions, air quality, things like that, improved a lot during the lockdown. And then as lockdowns were lifted, it went back to normal. But people saw that and they thought, that's quite interesting to see how quickly things could improve if we never move and don't do anything. But because I think people have felt a bit hopeless in many ways, you know, a lot of consumers say, I mean, 86% of consumers say they feel the situation with the environment is only going to get worse in the next 5 years. And 2/3 of people think we're heading for an environmental disaster unless we change our habits. Now we've seen evidence that when we change our habits drastically, things improve. At least short term. But that's, you know, I don't think that's so sustainable that everybody stays in lockdown.
Yeah.
But it was an interesting interesting insight and consumers picked up on that. But so I think it's a bit temporary. I think we'll come back and it will move up higher probably in next year's survey, or if not next year, the year after 2022. Yeah.
And where do they see the responsibility for packaging lie?
I think, you know, whether this is right or wrong, I think consumers like to put a lot of the onus on manufacturers and some of the onus on governments. But definitely, you know, they think a good number of consumers think that the manufacturers need to provide some innovation, some support around this area.
And so is that a question of trying to change attitudes to the materials themselves, so to shift away from single-use plastic and about dealing with packaging waste?
Yeah, so they think, you know, I think consumers think that, first of all, what they can do is to avoid products that have a lot of packaging. Now, what a lot of packaging is each person's definition. But the reality is, you know, packaging, you have to have some amount of packaging or you can't really operate, you know, kind of in a modern society. But beyond that, I think they see that manufacturers should take responsibility for end of life for the recycling and the reuse part of the life cycle of a package. And, you know, they want to play their role, but, you know, a consumer won't find a way to build up recycling infrastructure, for example. They will deposit, you know, products into that recycling collection if they have access. But they expect that between governments and manufacturers, those kinds of infrastructure should be set up. And then they also expect manufacturers to provide products for them to select that are as sustainable as possible. So, you know, containing recycled material with responsibly sourced raw materials, packages made with responsibly sourced raw materials, for example.
And is there a sort of an irresolvable balance here? You know, if food safety is now the top priority, and which would generally seem to imply that you need more packaging rather than less, therefore the environment has to shift. And is there a sort of a balance and a ratio of that equation where the consumer assumes that something has to give, and are they right in thinking that?
The consumers generally want it all. they want.
I know, I do.
Yeah, of course. So you know, for example, you want it to be, you want the package, the product inside the package to be safe. You want it to stay good for as long as possible. You want the package to be sustainable. You want it to be, you know, able to be recycled and sourced from a good place. And you don't want to pay more. That's typically the requirement that you get from consumers. And then, you know, it's a matter of what's the right balance, as you say, between those things. What's the optimal balance that will be acceptable and from a manufacturer point of view, allow them, you know, to have the most sales out of that balance.
Now, the index explores what consumers would like to see in innovation. What did the research reveal this year?
We were asking about, you know, innovative solutions and then what they wanted those solutions to accomplish. You know, they were looking for innovative solutions that protect food longer, avoid waste, and also maintain nutritional value. So about 70% of consumers said that's what they want. And then also food storage and how long a product can be stored with an expiration date that's easy to understand when it's finished. So it's a little bit of a blurring that we've seen this year between a wish for purely sustainable products and then this health and food safety component. So it is a bit of a dilemma, and it has gotten a little bit blurry this year. And I think it's, again, sort of a function of all the things that are going on in people's lives right now.
And can manufacturers and the supply chain draw on that information, or is it simply what everyone's trying to achieve now anyway?
I mean, I think to one degree or another, all manufacturers are aiming for that kind of sweet spot, that balance that we were talking about. And so I think they're all aiming for that anyway, but I think the food safety part and the food waste part that's the emerging part that's a bit new. So that's something that people have to kind of, manufacturers have to take a bit of a closer look at.
Yeah. Now, was there anything that surprised you personally in the index this year?
I think this, the shift that went from, you know, really heavy on environment to, you know, really heavy on food waste, food safety. It was something that surprised us in our business quite a lot. And we saw a massive shift in about March of this year, where suddenly, and this is related to the lockdowns, but suddenly consumers were back to basics and they were back to buying larger size packages because they were stuck at home, basically.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and I'm sure this happened to many manufacturers, the supply chain impact of that was dramatic. You know, we're a few steps down in the chain, So from retail to our customers and their manufacturing, and then to us, you know, it was kind of like this massive ripple through the supply chain and a shift. So we felt that shift and scrambled like many others to try to supply to that shift of behavior.
Yeah. And as with so many things about COVID-19, do you think that it has revealed some sort of base instincts that we need to be aware of all the time, you know, trends and shifts that are likely to happen more in the future?
Well, I think a lot of consumers and people, when forced into a lockdown like we've been, you're forced back to basics. You realize that a lot of the things you did and bought maybe were not absolutely necessary. They were maybe fun and enjoyable, but not absolutely necessary. So I think there's probably going to be, and we'll see what happens in our index next year, there's probably going to be a sustainment of this basics, health, simplicity mindset that we're seeing a bit right now. And contrary to that, on the other side, we're also seeing this tremendous restlessness and this wish for back to normal, which I don't think we're going to see normal anytime soon. But still, there's a wish to, you know, go out and travel and vacation and do all the things that considered normal. So we'll see what happens. But I think there'll probably be some sort of counter surge in terms of a lot of the activities from lockdown and stay at home to go out and do, you know, there'll be a sort of a counter surge once it's safe to do so.
Yeah. And clearly COVID-19 is a major disruptor, and it's accelerating trends and it's changing the consumer landscape. But I guess with disruption comes opportunity as well. What do you consider is key to addressing some of these pressing issues?
You know, from our point of view, we're really in a sort of a stay the course mode, in the sense of, you know, we offer a very solid and sustainable offering in carton packaging. So we're not going to make radical changes because we think what we have to offer is good. We're just trying to make it better and even more sustainable. But I think that offering that we have, that sustainable package and interest in that, will continue. So I guess it's an opportunity, or maybe it's just a stay the course. But this whole area of back to basics and what it is that people focus on that they find really important. I've seen a number of manufacturers doing SKU rationalization on that basis, that maybe we don't need so many SKUs for so many particular needs. But I think you have to be careful to just choose the right ones, as we were talking before about portion size and things like that. Got to make sure, you know, so maybe you'd offered everything before and you had 5,000 SKUs. Maybe now if you want to rationalize your SKUs to 3,000, just got to make sure it's the right 3,000.
Absolutely. Well, I look forward to finding out whether all of these changes in people's attitudes kind of manifest themselves in what we see in the shops. I think the Tetra Pak Index is a fascinating tool, and it's going to be really useful to manufacturers and to the whole supply chain. Thank you so much for joining us, Libby. It's been great.
Pleasure. Thank you.
So you've been listening to the Table Talk podcast, brought to you by Food Matters, and this week in partnership with Tetra Pak. You heard from Libby Costin, Global Chief Marketing Officer for Tetra Pak, and me, Stephen Gates. Thank you very much. You've been listening to the Table Talk podcast, brought to you by Food Matters. Subscribe to get every episode freshly delivered on Apple, Spotify, Google, or your preferred podcasting platform. And to find out more, please visit foodmatters.co.uk.